Well, welcome back to the Jazz Podcast. I'm Matt Sanchez. First of all, thanks to everyone for listening and tuning in and subscribing. We have McCoy as a guest today. McCoy, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good. We were just talking before we started recording. It's an interesting time in the world. It's unprecedented. I don't think, at least in modern era, modern times, people haven't really gone through something like this. But yeah, I'm surviving. How's working from home for you?
You know, I thought I would like it more, but I noticed that I seem to be more distracted at home because I start thinking about the laundry and the dishes and all of the chores that I could be doing. And then, I don't know, there's just something about the office that just feels like, you know, you're ready and you're good to go and you're ready to work and you can focus and you have people there. But man, being at home is so different. But I know it really works well for some people.
So McCoy, if you don't already know, she's a huge Jazz fan. She's kind of a staple in the Jazz social media community. I think everyone knows who McCoy is. And not too long ago, you started your own podcast. Tell us a little bit about it.
I don't know if I'm a staple.
No, you are.
But thank you for the thank you for the nice compliment. Yeah. So me and my buddy Emily, we started the Jazzy Gals podcast. It was an idea we had bounced off each other for a while. We both love the Jazz, but we also love other things, and we thought it'd be kind of fun to have discussions every week because we love talking to each other anyway. So why not make it a podcast? So. That's what we did.
How's it going so far? How many episodes have you done?
So I believe we've done 8, and it's been going well. We've had good topics, and we our last episode was about the COVID-19 breaking news. So I don't really know where we go from here. We're trying to brainstorm some ideas, but. We just love talking Jazz, and we love talking about other fun things going on in our lives, whether it's pop culture, Harry Potter, fan values.
Going to Thunder Down Under on your 21st birthday.
That's right. We did talk about that.
Yes, you
that
did.
That was something.
Yeah, the podcasting world is tricky. It's funny, too, like coming up with ideas and whatnot. Obviously, right now is weird because we don't have any games to talk about. That's why it's so great to talk to you, get to know you and your Jazz fandom a little bit. Before we start, though, I'm going to do something a little different. I didn't give you any prep on these. These are just kind of like this or that, just questions that like first thing that comes to your mind type stuff. I think this will just get us right into your personality, right into your soul. So are you ready?
Oh, great. Yes, I'm ready.
Don't worry. They're really easy questions, I think.
Oh, good.
Okay. How should a steak be cooked?
Medium rare.
Okay. Best flavor of a Costco muffin?
Oh. I haven't had a Costco muffin for a while. I'd say blueberry.
Okay. Pineapple on a pizza?
Yes.
Okay. Good. We can still be friends on that. Best sports movie ever.
This is so hard for me to choose. I'm going to go with Hoosiers.
Hoosiers, nice. Thor or Captain America?
Thor.
If you had to have only one streaming service during your quarantine time right now, what are you choosing?
Amazon Prime.
Is a Jazz game a good date?
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. First word that comes to mind when I say Ben Simmons.
Can't shoot a three.
Okay, you were a lot nicer than I would have been.
was it supposed to be one word? I was going to, if it's one word, I'd say coward.
Coward, nice. I don't know what that guy's deal is with, he really hates the Jazz and like Jazz players. It really bugs me. He bugs me.
Yeah, that was kind of mean of me, but he is kind of annoying.
Well, it's like every time I hear about something from Ben Simmons, he's like unnecessarily dogging a Jazz player. Like, come on, dude. Can't you just be a good player and recognize that other players are good players? Like, the whole thing with him and Donovan and any other rookie at the time, it was just, like, he wouldn't even recognize that guys were good. Like, he's, no, I'm the best rookie. I'm the best rookie. And it's like, okay, but can't you say that so-and-so's good too? Like, what's your problem?
Yeah, and that recent video where he was talking about best defensive players and someone asked him about Rudy, and he's like, I need a guy who can defend all five positions or whatever. And I loved how people were coming back and being like, oh, well, I want someone who can shoot all five positions or can shoot outside the three-point line or out of the paint.
Yeah, he's unquestionably, like, super athletic. Like, getting to the basket.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the guy is kind of unstoppable going to the basket. And, but yeah, he can't shoot. And he makes dumb turnovers. And, you know, he's really good, but he's really high on himself. And it's funny how we have this, like, rivalry with the Sixers based solely on, like, him and Embiid being, like, punks towards Rudy and Donovan.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that style. I'm more of just like, let your game do the talking, be fun, but like kind of being degrading or whatever towards individual players is not really my thing.
Right. I agree.
We have no sports. I don't know how it's going for you, but it's tough. How is life with no sports right now?
Yeah, like I said on the Jazz Gals podcast, I feel like I'm still going through the five stages of grief. It's really hard to focus. I mean, coming home and getting ready for the Jazz game, having that to look forward to I think I must have just taken it for granted, because now I just feel so lost without basketball. And I love March Madness too. So having that gone, and it's hard. And I know it's hard because you know there are more important things, and you know it's not going for a good reason. But for me, it's such a big part of my life and my daily routine that to have it just go away so quickly is a little devastating. I know that's dramatic, but that's about the best word I can think of.
No, I agree. It's because it's just like stripped away from you. You know, it's not like the ramp down of like, oh, we know the season's ending. Oh, we know this is the last game. It's just like, literally, a game is about to tip off, and it's just like, boom, no more games. And yeah, it's devastating. Hard is a good word. It's just been hard. Like you mentioned, March Madness and the Masters, and now we hear the Olympics are postponing a year, and it's definitely testing people's like will to figure out things to do in their house.
Yeah, we definitely need to develop some new hobbies. I might take up crocheting.
Oh, that's a valuable one. You could probably like sell some stuff online with that.
Maybe woodworking. I'm toying with that idea.
Dang. I don't even know how to begin. Like, you just like go cut down a tree and get a chisel and start at it, or what?
I guess so. We'll have to look up a YouTube video and figure it out.
What was the thing in, I know that, okay, so I know McCoy is a big Schitt's Creek fan. What was the little trunk that they found, like he found like a piece of wood out back, and he had, you know what I'm talking about? And like, he made it into like a little like trunk or not like a chest of drawers, but like this little box to keep his clothes in.
Was that a hope chest?
Yeah. It was just kind of like I think.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. That's a funny show.
Oh, I love it.
And that's where you guys got your name, the Jazzigals. It's kind of like a perfect name.
Well, totally, because I'm watching it and I love the name when they have this little singing group, and it's called the Jazzigals. And I know it's supposed to be funny, but it's like, oh, that's like, I'm a gal. I love the jazz. It's perfect. So that's where we got our name.
Well, and Moira, Catherine O'Hara, she plays that character so perfectly. She's so like perfectly, I don't even know the best word to describe her, but she's just kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, she's been like living, and I haven't finished like the whole show. I'm still like in like season four or whatever, but like she's been living like the high life, and kind of everyone is still like a little bit just like below her, but just like the comments that she makes about everyone or everything is like so perfect. Like the writing is so hilarious.
It is so funny. And her accent is phenomenal. Have you tried doing it?
No. Do you? Like, can you give us a little bit?
Well, I can't do it as well, but Emily can do it really well. But she's always like, I don't know, she just like the way she pronounces like David.
Or
Alexis. Stop acting like a disgruntled Dominican.
It's a great show.
Yeah. It's so good.
So a little bit about like your jazz fan origins. So were you a jazz fan? Cause you live in St. George, right? So have you lived down in St. George, Utah your whole life?
No, I grew up in a tiny town called Tropic. It's right below Bryce Canyon National Park. So it's really small, but really beautiful. And my family's like six generations of people living there. But I was raised there, and my grandpa is a big basketball fan, big jazz fan, and I always wanted to be, you know, like my grandpa. He's a really cool guy, and so I just kind of latched onto the jazz, and it's something that we love to talk about still. And I remember, you know, my parents are fans. They're not, you know, on my level, but
few people are.
I always say that I was born into it, so that's where my love of the Utah Jazz began, in tiny Tropic, Utah.
Nice. What year or like what era of the jazz do you remember watching first?
So it was the D. Will and Boozer years, Tirilenko, Memo, those teams. I was in high school, and then I was in college when the whole Darren Williams and Coach Sloan thing went down, and that was a really bad day for me.
Yeah. That was a really weird time. That was like pre, like me, I think a lot of people being on Twitter. And I remember my first reaction was like, I went and posted something on Facebook about like Coach Sloan resigning. And like when I go find that post now, there's just like, you know, all these comments. It was basically like what you would do on Twitter now. And it was so shocking. You know, such a shocking, just like probably the most shocking thing that's happened in like the jazz, to the jazz, I would say.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was on my college newspaper, and it went down. And so I wrote an opinion article defending Darren.
Oh, nice.
Basically. And then that article came out the day he got traded. So that was a little bit of bad timing there, but I'll always remember it.
So you were, it sounds like, on like, not necessarily on Team Darren, but you could see maybe that were both sides. I don't know. Were you ever a Darren hater at all?
No. Well, I was always a big Darren Williams fan. He was my favorite player. I loved his game. It was so fun having someone on the Jazz after John and Carl left, who was popular, you know, kind of like what Donovan is now.
Yeah.
That was kind of like Darren for me when I was a teenager / early 20s. So it was really hard for me to see that go down. I think after he left and more information came out, I became more bitter toward Darren. I'm so glad that he's finally came back and you know, tried to make things right with Coach Sloan and the organization. So I'm definitely on better terms with him now.
That's good. You guys are texting again?
Yes. We're talking again.
Okay, so good.
It's healing.
When you said you wrote that opinion piece, it reminded me back in the day, I used to write blogs like for the Jazz website, right?
Right.
And his first game back when he was on the Nets, I wrote this piece about basically asking fans not to boo him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it wasn't like it wasn't like a Hayward situation where he just like up and left us, right? Like he didn't ask for anything, and we had to trade him, and that's all, you know, ancient history now. But I was just, the whole thing was just like, don't boo. You know, he was amazing for us. He was an all-star. He never did anything but, you know, good for the Jazz. And unfortunately, you know, he and Coach Sloan didn't get along and all that. But I was really pro Darren, and I think a lot of people weren't, especially when he came back the first time.
That was such an interesting time. I can't believe it's been how long?
It's been like 9 years now. Yeah, 9 years.
Wow.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's wild. And he played his best basketball in Utah. It's so weird because I feel like I say that a lot about a lot of former Jazz players who left.
It's true. One thing that I need to mention is this is my 18th episode of the Jazzed podcast. And typically I reference players whose jersey number coincides with the episode. So the 18th episode of Jazzed. And, you know, off the top of my head, I was like, I don't know if I remember number 18s. You know, a lot of numbers, you're like, oh yeah, 13 is Memo and 14 is Hornacek and 15 is DeFave. So like, you know, there's a lot of numbers associated with guys, but not really 18. So I went and looked it up. And here's the list. You tell me if you have any memories of any of these guys, which I'm going to assume you don't. But number 18 in Jazz history, we have Gus.
Is there a player that wears 18?
Currently, no. But there were seven guys in Jazz history who wore 18. So starting with Gus Bailey, Ron Lee, two guys I never heard of, John Duren. In the early 80s, Kenny Natt, who, if you remember, he used to be an assistant coach on Coach Sloan's staff. Now in the mid 80s, Pace Mannion played one season with that number, former University of Utah player. And then in 93, Tim Legler, who's now he's an ESPN NBA analyst, played for the Jazz for 1 year in 93, wearing number 18. And most recently, Eric Green in 2016 wore number 18 for the Jazz for 6 games. And I'm like, oh, Eric Green, like, what is his deal? Like, what is the story with him? So I went and looked up on Basketball Reference. And this is all just, this is the stuff that I'm interested in. I'm such a nerd with just like random facts. But it turns out that he is a guy the Jazz drafted in the second round of the 2013 draft. He's the guy we traded to Denver for Rudy Gobert.
Oh.
Yeah. So I didn't remember that until I looked it up, that we should all really be Eric Green fans because he bought us Rudy Gobert.
That's right.
So thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
We talked about like when you, a couple of your favorite players, but who would you say is your all-time favorite Jazz player?
My all-time favorite Jazz player, I know it's the usual answer, but it's got to be John Stockton. I love him so much. He was with the Jazz his whole career. When I played high school basketball, I was the leader in assists. So I wanted to be just like John Stockton, wanted to be the assister. You know, he's had some really big shots too. I know people don't give him as much credit for his shooting, but man, he's such a cool guy. And I mean, I know I just feel like we're lucky that we had him, and I miss him, but
yeah, it's funny when you think about the Utah Jazz and like the culture of like the entire team and organization. It's funny, is it like, because Stockton and Coach Sloan were so similar in their mentality and like the way they did stuff. And I wonder if Stockton, it's like that chicken or the egg. And I went like, was it Stockton or was it Coach Sloan? And like, was it Coach Sloan's way and it kind of rubbed off on Stockton? Or was Stockton a certain way and it kind of rubbed off on Coach Sloan? Or were they just both cut from the same cloth? Which I guess that's probably what it was. But yeah, we were so lucky to have, I mean, obviously Carl, but he was a different kind of guy as far as his personality. But Stockton Malone, just no BS. We're going to get to work. We don't complain. We're just going to do our thing. And it's kind of amazing we had both those in a player and a coach for so long. I don't know if you've seen that I posted this just fun bracket on my Twitter account, the Jazz Podcast Twitter account. of like favorite jazz players of all time. Have you kind of seen that or followed that a little bit?
I sure have. And I think that's such a great idea. I actually voted. So my vote is in.
Well, you mentioned like Stockton, and when I put this together, I was like, well, I don't think anyone's going to come close to beating Stockton, to be honest. But I kind of wanted to see who might get in the Final Four or the Final Eight, or who else could come close is more of like the interesting thing to me. Who do you think jazz fans, because you have a good pulse on the jazz, you know, Twitter fan base, who do you think is going to come close or kind of be in the finals with him?
I think that some of our modern guys are going to be on there. I think Donovan, possibly, I think, was Rudy still in it? I have to go back and remember. I think Donovan, Rudy, maybe Joe?
Yeah.
Sneak in there?
Right now, Joe is really handling Jeff Hornacek pretty solid. Like, that's a 2-3 matchup in that side of the bracket. And I was wondering about that, but Joe Ingles is up like 75% of the vote on Jeff Hornacek. So people love Joe.
I'm trying to think about who else is still in there.
I'll give you a little insight. So it looks like the final eight, okay, is going to come down to Stockton and Joe Ingles will face off. And then we're going to have Donovan and Derek Favors face off.
Oh, Derek.
Yeah. And then we're going to have Karl Malone and Kirilenko go against each other. And then the last duo is going to be Gobert and Memo Kerr. So that's kind of like your final eight.
Sounds about right.
I'm sure Johnny's going to win because he's so beloved. I think he's everyone's favorite player ever.
It's true. And it's funny because everyone loves him so much. But then I hear these stories about how he hates giving autographs. And like all these like kids he's said no to. And I shouldn't laugh, but that just hits me so funny because he seems like such a cool guy, but it's kind of funny that he's anti-fame.
Yeah,
anti-fame. That's a good way to put it.
I've got to interact with him a couple of times, and he was always really just super, super nice. But again, I wasn't like a kid bugging him at like a dinner table or something asking for an autograph, but I think it's funny when you see players like a little bit of like, I mean, a lot of like Hayward and like D. Will. And there's certain guys who just kind of like hate that part of their job is like dealing with the fame. And I always kind of think it's unfortunate. I mean, I get it. Like it's their job. They don't have to be nice to everybody. But at the same time, it's like, can't you just make this kid's day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I stood in line at Vivint. Well, it was Energy Solutions at the time when he was signing his books. I think you were still at the Jazz then.
Yeah. Yes, I was.
And yeah, so I remember going out. It was a rainy day. I went the day before to City Creek and the line was so long and he had to leave like 30 people in front of me. So I came back really early the next day to do the Energy Solutions signing. And luckily I was like the sixth person in line, but it was like cold and rainy and I had all these things I was going to say to him when I got up there, and I just, I was so starstruck. I was just like, I love you. He's like, oh, here, he's so nice. But yeah, that's a good memory. I'm so glad I was able to get my book signed.
Yeah. Did you read that book, Assisted?
Oh, yes. I love it.
It's really good. Like,
so good.
And he's so humble. Like the entire book is literally of all the people who helped him his whole career and his life. Like he takes like no credit. What's the most fun game you've been to? Or like, do you have any games that stick out of games that you've been to or excitement that come to mind?
Yeah, for sure. So it might be a little bit of recency bias, but game 3 against Oklahoma City, Donovan's rookie year. I was able to get tickets and go to that game, and it was like a roller coaster ride of a game because you had Ricky. That's when Ricky had his triple double game, and I'm pretty sure it was game 3.
Was that
it? Was that series.
The Are You Not Entertained arms in the air game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Where he's he sunk that buzzer beater and he lifted his arms up. They were in the City Edition uniforms, and so the whole stadium was in the orange and red and yellow shirts. And I remember I would stand up, I'd sit down, I'd put my hands in my head in my hands, which you're not supposed to do. Don't touch your face. And and then it was just up, down. And I remember we were down and I was like, oh, we're losing. We're going to lose this game. And then we didn't. And oh, man, it was one of those games where you feel almost every emotion. And it's one I will never forget.
Yeah. I was actually at that game also. Still have my red Take Note playoff shirt from it. That was a really fun game. And it makes me kind of miss Ricky. You know, I know that it's kind of
too.
Like a divisive topic amongst jazz fans, but he was a great jazz man to have around.
So good. I do miss him. I miss his attitude. I wish it could have worked out better. But I, rewatching that series, I forgot that he got hurt in that last game against OKC. So he didn't really have a chance to show his stuff in the next round. And it makes you wonder if maybe it could have been different.
That's true. I remember now that you mention it, I had kind of forgotten about it.
That was a really great memory.
Yeah.
That game. Not him getting hurt. The game.
Well, one of the fun things you talk about on Jazz Gals, you and Emily, is, you know, going on dates to jazz games, and it's fun to listen to, because I'm married now, but I definitely went on dates to jazz games, and you said earlier it's a good date, but I think you've had some interesting or some bad jazz game dates, right?
Yeah. The best dates are the ones where the guys actually know what's going on, you know, they're jazz fans themselves. The worst dates are the ones that are just kind of like boring. Like, I'm not here for this golf clap nonsense. I'm here to cheer. I'm here to be loud. I'm here to be, you know, obnoxious. Like, I'm going to enjoy the game to, you know, the fullest extent. So if you're just going to be boring and not get up and cheer and high five, then yeah, that's not cool. So anyway,
these guys who ask you on a date to a jazz game need to know, like, they need to know who they're going with. Like, you can't just sit there and be a dud at a jazz game when you're there with McCoy.
I know, right? Like, what were they? They gotta, maybe I need to do a better job of preparing them before taking them. But, you know, I've been on more good jazz dates than bad ones. So it's fun to, you know, see how a guy reacts and kind of, that's like my kind of atmosphere. So,
because I have a friend who listens to this podcast, his first date was actually at a jazz game, and the girl he went with, he's now married to, but he was so nervous during the first part of the date that he got up to go to the bathroom and he forgot to tell her. So he kind of just like left the seat and just walked up the stairs, and then he later forgot to, like, because, yeah, he was just nervous. And then he came back down and she's like, oh, I didn't know where you went. And he's like, oh, sorry, I just went to the bathroom.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what I'd do if a guy just got up and left.
We used to go to jazz game dates all the time. And then I started working there and I had to work every game. So we never went on jazz game dates anymore because I had to work. And now we don't really go very much because of our, you know, it's tough with little kids. But I think about those times when we were dating or first married and we used to go tons, at least when I could afford it. So I'm on the train of those are fun dates. If you are actually a fan and are going with McCoy, you should actually be a fan.
Yes. And if you get me a Diet Coke, that's a bonus.
Oh yeah. Speaking of Diet Coke, I was going to ask you, is there any things that you've like hoarded or like made sure do you have to get during quarantine time or, you know, like, that you're stocked up on in your house?
Oh yeah, it's Diet Coke.
Now, how much
I
are
have
we talking?
Like five, I have like five boxes now.
Okay, now is a box so, like a 12-pack, or is a box
like the big boxes?
Okay, so you got five 24-packs.
Yeah,
that's like your just in case. I might not be able to buy Diet Coke ever again type of thing.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to have to leave my house because I'm out of Diet Coke, because that's the thing I'm going to leave my house for. So,
is there anything else? Like, have you gone to Costco and like gone down up and down the aisles, like looking for random stuff to buy?
You know what? I haven't dared gone to Costco. Is that a proper way to say that? I haven't braved Costco yet, because here in St. George, it's people go and line up at like 5:30 a.m. I thought they would stop by now, but I guess it's still happening. So I just don't know if I don't know if I could do it. Maybe if it calms down a little bit, but you know, I have all my cooking essentials and I'm pretty good. So I haven't, Diet Coke's pretty much the only thing I've bought a lot of. So.
Well, that's good. It is weird going to, I guess, any grocery store, but Costco, because like, I think people are there and they don't necessarily know what they're looking for. They're just wandering down aisles going, oh, there's only a few of these. I guess I'll grab it. And they're not, I guess I should get, you know, a giant 4-pack of salsa or whatever, because you never know if you're going to need it.
Right. It's wild.
Yeah. So going back to the Jazz, a couple more like topics. We heard yesterday Tony Jones talking about Donovan possibly, you know, signing an extension, a max extension with the Jazz.
I think that's great. I don't have a problem with it. I think he deserves it. And I have a lot of trust in our leadership. And if they feel like it's the right thing to do this summer, then heck yeah, go for it. If it makes Donovan happy. If Donovan's happy, I'm happy. So,
well,
yeah,
that,
I'm not very, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that brings me to like Rudy, you know, like Rudy could get a potential Supermax contract. Like, are you on the Rudy boat as far as like keep him here no matter what?
Yeah, you know, Rudy is probably my favorite modern. I don't know if that's the right word, but he's been my favorite player for a while on this team. So it's really hard because you watch and you hear how the game is changing, and then you hear how, well, with the Jazz, Donovan can't really work without Rudy, and Rudy can't work without Donovan. So I'd love to keep Rudy here if it makes sense. So I'm just not very good at this. I don't really understand the contracts or the money, but if we can make it work with keeping Rudy here and Donovan, like I'm all for it.
Cause I mean, I'm no cap expert, but, there's things in place. Like if they're your own players, you can go, you know, you can go over the salary cap into the luxury tax if it means re-signing your own guys.
Right.
It's different if it's just like a free agent you're trying to sign. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough, but like, because a Supermax is, you know, we're talking like hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm Team Rudy like all the way. I just think he deserves it and he's earned it.
Yeah.
And I don't want him on any other team because he like we talked about Stockton and Sloan, like he kind of like embodies that attitude also.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely a Team Rudy. I mean, it's when all that went down with him and this whole thing, I feel like I'm his, like I'm his defender. Like it's so hard to see him go through all of that. I just finally had to not look at all the comments and stuff, but it would be so hard seeing Rudy on another team. That would break my heart.
Well, you hope that, and you know, none of us really know what's going in the locker room or amongst the guys, but you hope that they can patch that up. Because I don't ever want it to be like D. Will and Sloan, where it's like it's him or me, and I don't think it's that way, but that would be really difficult.
Yeah, I hope it's not that way either.
Yeah, but it is weird. It's so unfortunate that Rudy just happened to be the first one who was tested. That's it, right? And all the facts that we kind of have now, or just seeing other players who have actually had their names out in the public. And it seems so likely that you know, it came from Boston or it came from a Boston player because they had a bunch test positive. And it just happened that Rudy was tested first. And now he's always going to be remembered as this like scapegoat and the person who gets crap for it. And it sucks because, yeah, you and Emily talked about it also. Like, he's worked so hard on his, obviously his game, but his image of being like accepted as an elite all-star player. And yeah, he had to deal with like the crying thing in the all-star last year. And now he has this kind of hit, which it shouldn't be, but it is like on his image. And it's just so unfair that he, of all players, that it's him, because
yeah,
he's the one who I think really, everybody cares about their image, but like he's worked so hard to be accepted as an all-star, and now he just kind of has this other thing that people are going to give him crap about.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And just the whole mic touching thing and how it was just that irony, even though him touching those mics was a lot, wasn't even as bad as him talking into the mics. Like, there's just so many like details that people don't understand or want to understand. It's always just that attack mode. And that's what drives me crazy.
I think that's just, I guess, the day and age we live in with social media and comment sections, and everybody has to give their 2 cents, and it's always the people who have something bad to say that seem to speak up.
Yeah, it's true.
Obviously, none of us know if we're going to get a season or finish off this season. What do you think? Like, if they just say we're canceling the season, how would that sit with you?
I'm trying to become more okay with that every day, because it kind of feels like that might be where it's heading, but I would be very sad. It's so hard because, you know, you understand why they're doing it, but to lose this whole season would be really, it'd be a shame. But I don't know, how would you feel if it ended, if they came out and said it's done, we're just going to go into next season? It feels so weird to think about even.
Yeah, I think it would be just really weird, because it would just, the 2019-2020 season would just kind of be this forgotten about, like, really weird moment in time that didn't have a champion, and I would assume didn't have an MVP, and yeah, I don't know. It would make sense because, you know, you have to start thinking about the following season and the draft and rookies and signing free agents, and, you know, and we've talked a little bit about it, but like, unless the NBA is ready to just shift their calendar completely back 2 or 3 months, which wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing. But I've heard former players on The Jump with Rachel Nichols talking about how much NBA players really, really love having the summer off. And if suddenly they're now getting, you know, only like the fall off or whatever, like, I don't think NBA players would be down for that.
Yeah, I thought it was strange when they were talking about possibly having the playoffs in August, which is so crazy. I've always wanted to go to a Jazz game on my birthday. I have an August birthday, so maybe my wish will come true this year. But I don't know if that's going to work, because it shifts so many things, and then other sports, and then all the events at the arenas, and it's like a domino.
Well, then you'd probably say goodbye to NBA players in the Olympics, and I know that's only every 4 years, but now stuff like that, you're not going to get NBA players in because the season's going on, unless they just like pause the season for the Olympics, which I guess could happen, but that would also be a really weird thing to have to decide on.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's so surreal.
So let's say the opposite. Adam Silver says, we're going to be playing a shortened 2-week season, and then we're going to be playing a shortened playoffs. And the first two rounds are going to be best of 5, and then we're going to have best of 7. And yeah, we're going to play into July and August. Would you be happy with that?
So we'd get 2 more weeks of them finishing out games?
Yeah.
Or so, just start the playoffs?
Yeah, because I was listening to Matt Barnes, and I think it was Matt Barnes and maybe it was Richard Jefferson on The Jump, and they were talking about, like, you can't... No, it's Paul Pierce. you can't just like start the playoffs. Like you have to have some kind of ramp up time, especially because right now these guys, they're not practicing. They can't even go work out. So they have to have some kind of a week or two, 5 to 10 games, something just to kind of get back into shape, almost like a preseason. Because unless you want the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs to kind of stink, which I don't know if the NBA, maybe they just would rather have something than nothing. But from a player's perspective, I think they would want a few games to get going.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I would be okay. I'm always good for more basketball. But if they can figure it out and it works out and they can, it's so weird because it makes me wonder where we would end up in the seeding. The only good thing I like about going in just right now as it is I feel a little more confident playing OKC than anyone else close to us. So yeah, that's going to be interesting if that's something they are considering. So I just want to know now. I'm like, will I have basketball?
I know.
Next month or in May?
Let's say, how would you remember this? For you, how would you remember this Jazz season if there was no more games this year? And we just kind of went into the offseason and who knows who's back? Who knows who we keep or trade? Like, how would you remember this team?
Oh, man. I thought this last season, but I think it even more now. I think this has been such a roller coaster season. It's so funny to look at these games and how it's been either a win streak or a losing streak. It hasn't been win one, lose one, win one. So, I mean, there's been a lot of really, really high highs and some low lows. And I think we're at the lowest, I don't know if this would be the lowest point of the season. It probably is. But I mean, it's been a roller coaster season. And if there is no conclusion, it's just going to feel like that. Oh, yeah, that was the weird COVID-19 season where we'd win a lot and then lose a lot and then win a lot, and then it ended.
Well, it seems like, I mean, when it did kind of end, we were kind of on one of those upswings, you know? And it was almost like, well, maybe we figured it out. You know, the team, Mike's been playing good and he's healthy and Bojan was playing really great. And, couldn't we just continue that?
Yep.
Yeah, but I guess we'll find out hopefully sometime in the near future.
The uncertainty is just the scariest part right now. So I think once we kind of get more of an idea of what's happening, it'll be a little better.
Well, before I let you go, I have to know, as my tradition, and it's very fitting now because so much of us are binge watching shows, and you mentioned Amazon Prime, so I want to know what you're watching there, but what shows, what are you binge watching right now?
Yeah, so I like Amazon Prime because it has 30 Rock, which is my all-time favorite sitcom, or is it, I don't know if it's a sitcom. My all-time favorite comedy. So that's what I've been watching, 30 Rock. I love Tina Fey. I love her humor. I really loved her Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt show that was on Netflix. I missed that one. But man, I could watch 30 Rock for forever and never get bored of it.
I love 30 Rock myself. I'm a big Tracy Morgan fan in 30 Rock because he's so out there. Like he's so crazy funny.
Yeah, I was just watching an episode where he tells the pigeon to have self-respect. Don't you know you can fly? Have some self-respect.
It's kind of, yeah, I think, so because funny. Like The Office, and I'm a Seinfeld guy, but The Office, I feel like, kind of gets so much love. And I feel like 30 Rock doesn't necessarily get its due when it comes to like really great comedies.
Well, Tina Fey's comedy is just so clever. Like, you can watch an episode and then watch it again and like get completely new jokes out of it.
Yeah. I miss her on SNL too. Like she might be like the best writer that they ever had. And obviously she was an amazing like actor on it too, but that was a fun era. I still think about her as Sarah Palin all the time.
It's crazy how much how much they resemble each other, at least looks wise.
I say the line to my wife, like, I can see Russia from my house. Like, I don't know why that comes into my mind, but like, I say that to her probably once a week. Just some, for some reason, like the word house or something gets said and I just spit that out because I'm really weird like that. But
no, yeah. I think that's awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, come on my podcast. I know you're a busy person. You've got a lot going on. You have your own podcast, but yeah, I appreciate it. For everybody who's not on Twitter, at Real McCoy, McKoye, and I'm sure everyone who listens to this already follows you, but if you're not, go follow her because she's one of the best. Any parting words or anything that you need to get off your chest?
No, thank you for having me, and we love the Jazz podcast, and you do such a great job, and thank you for having me on. That was really thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Well, I know we've kind of talked about it for a little while, trying to sync up times, and it's not always easy. So yeah, sorry it hasn't been sooner. Sorry we didn't have actual games to chat about, but I think these are still topics that fans like to hear about, and definitely want to get to know you more, so hopefully fans have enjoyed it.
Yeah, and go Jazz someday.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Jazzed. Like I said, this is our 18th episode. Hopefully we can keep bringing you more fun stories from fans like McCoy, and hopefully sometime in the near future we get some resolution on if and when, or, you know, cancel, or we just look forward to next year. Hopefully soon we get some of that. I don't know if it's going to be in the very short term, but I know we all want some resolution so we can get some more basketball in our lives. But thanks again to McCoy, and go Jazz someday.